we're holding today on a very brainy daf. Daf Memchet. There we go. So, the last thing that we discussed yesterday was the difference between heat that rises into something which is tamun and something which is tamun within that which is heating. To distinguish between, perhaps, assuming that one is to distinguish, perhaps, between sesame, pressed sesame remnants, and pressed olive remnants. We're holding now on the second line of that Memphis. Rabba Rabbi Zera, Itlu Ula Beresh Galuta. Rabba Rabbi Zera came, and they were going to have a meal at the Resh Galuta's house, and as we've already seen, that's the place where you got to keep your eyes open. It's like eating in yeshiva. Very, very dangerous. The Primata Kashrut, and so on and so forth. So, this place, they got away with murder because it was Resh Galuta's house. So they would keep a sharp eye on what all of these Abadim were doing over there. So, Chazyulahu Avda, the Anaf Kuzet the Maya, Pumede Kumkuma. So they see one of the Avadim setting down a container of cold water on top of the kettle to warm it. Naze Rabba. So Rabba gives him a threatening grunt. Omele Rabbi Zera, Maishna Mimecha Magabi Mecha. I don't know. What's the difference between putting one thing which was heated on top of another thing that's heated? I mean, you're also, aren't you? Some learn that the whole Shiloh over here is a Shiloh of Hatmuna. But this will have to go into an army view because there's a lot of problems. So first, I'll discuss some of the problems. And he says what seems to be rather obvious, that if you have the upper kettle is still warm, then obviously you're just keeping it warm. So what's the problem? In this case, the Eved was putting down something which was cool, and he was going to warm it. Obviously a different thing. Now, the Shaila is that we said before that you're allowed to put something in front of even the fire if it's going to be taken away. I mean, why did he already make up his mind that he's going to be doing an Ezer? We said you take a container of water, cold water, put it even in front of a fire, push it on top of a mechan, and then just take it away before it becomes the obsoleted bowl. From here, Tosis concludes that the case over there must have been that it couldn't have become the obsoleted bowl. Not that you'll take it away before it becomes the obsoleted bowl, which becomes a major question on Shabbos. They've got to be leaving things to warm on top of other things. One issue. Another issue. If you hold that Ein Bishalach or Bishal here, in a Dovralach, are we saying specifically we're talking about something that had never been heated? I mean, so then why talk about putting it in a Mecham? A Mecham Agavi Mecham. You certainly are not talking about Stam cold water. So if Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, the Chedesh shouldn't be a problem, even in a Dovralach. This is a Machlokas, in which this Sugya figures heavily. So sometime that the case over here would be that the water hadn't been fully cooked, according to the Rosh Hashanah. It had been heated in a Mecha, hadn't been fully cooked. So the question is there such a thing as the equivalent of Kemar Chal Ben Drusari on water, if you're named Bishlach? When it was cooked, Shrish, what you would normally heat it to, that's strange. But the din of Ein Bishlach or Bishlach but Overlach is also a little strange. There doesn't seem to be any permanent pula in the water. So, I mean, once you hold that, you may hold this also. Yeah, only Balach. It was, if it was B'yavish, it was already cooked, so everybody agrees that you don't have Bishlach on Bishul. It does suggest a couple of other possibilities to distinguish it from the case of the fire. Then maybe when it's in front of a fire, nobody's going to leave it there, then it should get hot enough to be outside of the season. It's exposed, I should get over here. On the Mecham, it's not something that cries out that you need to be careful and watch it and so on. But he says that that's very unlikely, because we saw before that if you pour a lot of cold water into the kettle, then it's okay. But a little water is not a, why don't we go? Is there a lot of water? There's a little water. So, I mean, apparently we rely on people know what they're doing. I mean, and the kettle is no different. People understand that Toldot Ha'ur and Ha'ur itself, they recognize the same. So if that's the case, why would we be more Mekel Lagabe the fire than Lagabe the Mekham itself? Again, this is all assuming that the issue over here is a pure heating issue. If we learn the Sugya that it's talking about that it was covered and it was a Hatmona issue, then of course everything is different. Then furthermore, after grunting at that Eved the first time, he saw an Eved, then he sees somebody that's Chazia, the Poras Tastuda, Apumi de Kuva. He takes a handkerchief, or a head kerchief, really is what it is, and he puts it over a container of water. And Vanagnatla, and then he takes not water, wine actually, and he takes they used to ladle out the wine, like a punch, it was a punch drink. And he puts the ladle on top of this thing, which is on top of the liquid. Sometimes he would ladle it out, cover it over with his kerchief, and then take the ladle and put it on top of it. So he didn't like that either, and he gave him another grunt. Naze Rama. That scared him away. What's the big deal? You're doing wrong. Amalek, okay. You want to know what he's doing wrong? Watch. Let's sit and watch. I'll show you what he's going to do. Ashta Chazita. You'll see now. Sure enough, this is, of course, similar to an anthropologist, where the guy says, so what's he going to do wrong? Watch! Meanwhile, he cuts off his head, knocks off the rest of the fence. See? I told you. So he watches him, and he sees it comes to, he finishes using it, and then he squeezes out the kerchief, which is also on Shabbat, so that he's being sochet. So that's why I told him not to do it. That's interesting. How come everybody uses a farunka? Farunka is a type of towel that is used to put over a large barrel of beer, so the things you don't want bugs to fall into. And we allow that. Of course. That's the point. The farunka is made for that purpose. You assume that it's going to get wet and so on.
Won't squeeze it.
So why would you squeeze it? It's meant that it gets wet and then it dries out in the air and so on. There's no akban on. But over here he's using a kerchief. A kerchief he's makban on. So that's why I knew this was going to happen. In the end it was going to get wet and he was going to squeeze out with the damp from it.
They're not trying to
be
saving
the thing. Yeah, no. And then the next case the Mishnah said is considered to be something that is mosiv hevel. If it's tevin, as long as it's lach. So boy, let me ask you. Suppose a guy had used mochin. We use mochin also, tevin, mochin, if they're lach. Now, the truth is that mochin are rather valuable. Tevin basically is going to be thrown out. It's animal food. I mean, it's not something that's valuable. Mochin, on the other hand, are going to be processed into felts. They would never throw out small pieces of material. That would be a complete waste. It makes much more sense to do the same kind of thing we do with sawdust today. We process it into boards and throw out all of that wood. Well, they had a very simple way of using little pieces of material. You simply press them into felts.
You got today.
Yeah, I'm saying, but they didn't have pressed board. My muscle required technology. They had already highly developed felts. So the truth is, mochin are valuable. If you use mochin to be toning in, so is that a sign that it's no longer huksa for purposes of making felt, and now I can use it on Shabbos? So maybe I could lie in them, or, you know, use them for anything that I want. So malatakal and b'Shabbos. Or marlei. So Abaya told Rav Ada bar Masa, and what's your question? Because a guy doesn't happen to have some tevin in the house right now and he needed to have something to use for Atmana, so he takes out his little bag of mochin, which every household would have, because I mean everybody did a little bit of sewing and so on. You sew, you cut a little piece of material and you throw it into the garbage. So you had a little container in which you put the mochin and you would sell it to a felt maker. So just because he needed to use it for this Shabbos, he ran out of tevin. So he's going to now, all of a sudden, he's going to say, it's okay, those rags, we'll just leave it for being tomin in. That's ridiculous. Lema misayel, can we bring a raya that that's the case, that we always assume that it's not going to be miyuchid for hatzmona, even if it was so used? Because it does say, tomin begizei tzemer, ubetzipei tzemer, ubishonot shel argaman, ubemochin. But, ein metaklinotam. So even though it says over here, when you use legabe hatzmona, things that are not mosi tevel, such as gizei tzemer, which are fresh out of the off of the shearing, or tzipei tzemer, when you already bang them out now and spread them out, b'lshonot shel argaman, they've already been dyed and combed, and actually mochin, where they've already been woven. All of these cases are fine to use for hatzmona, but in metatlinotan, which seems like it's saying very clearly what Abaya said. Just because you use it for Atmana doesn't mean that we should assume that's considered not to be huktza for purposes of Levadim. Says the Gemara, that doesn't prove anything. Because that may be two separate clauses. Doesn't necessarily have to be one case. How does that prove it? You could say that Hakikoma, that first of all, you should know the Gabi, the Dinam of Atmana, these are not considered to be Mosif and Hevel. Furthermore, you should know in a different context. Forget about Atmana, Lo Taman Ben. That in general, such things are ein metakonotan b'shabbat because of the fact that they're miyukas l'vadim. But in a case where someone was matzmin, so perhaps in Avinami no longer views this as being something that is set aside. So yofi maila meimra. Well, what's the finish? Every fool knows that such a thing is going to be put away for use. Certainly don't need now a brayta to be mechadish such a thing. No, because ma'atei mechadish l'mazga aluyeh. I would have thought, look, I mean, there's always the secondary usage, that if you need something to prop up, again, you're back again, and so on. So maybe you could take the Kupershow Mokin in order to use it as a basically a pillow. Commercial one, but that's not considered to be its usage. Fundamentally, it's set aside, and it's like you would go velo moko. It's like bricks that were set aside not to use for purposes of binyan and so on. And therefore, even if you happen to use it for something else, you're certainly not going to be mavato its primary use.
Kind of books, because, is it the books because it's set aside?
Yeah, just like the case we had before about one for binyan, levanim, levanim for binyan.
What category?
We'll see whether, I mean, it may be that it really is Visarin case because you specifically don't want it, or there might be a muktza that's called for a particular purpose opposed to general purposes, which we'll see. We have a lot more to do in muktza. Rav Chisda, Shari Lahaduri Udu Labesadia B'Shabata. Speaking about mohin, first thing that hits you is a pillow that opens up, spills some of its mohin, which was the normal use for pit fill. So Rav Chisda said, well, it's okay, put it back in. Put it back into the pillow, and it's okay. He said, Rav Chanan bar Chisda, Rav Chisda. Rav Chanan asked him, his father, Matirin beit atzavar b'shabbat, avalo potchi. If you gave in something to be cleaned, and what they would often do is they would use a stitch to close up the area that would otherwise remain open. I mean, we have buttons and so on. They would close up the whole area where your head went through, you know, if it was a sweater and so on, in order to make it easier to wash, because they would hold it on sticks and so on. And they would come back, and you would find, as we do today, you have pins in it that keeps it closed. They would have an actual, you know, little stitch in it, a basking stitch. So the question is, like, if you've got to take it out before Shabbat, can you take it out? So it says over here, you can be matirin the Beit HaTzavar if it was just left in there to be taken out, but you can't be potrin, meaning you can't, for the first time, if you've got a new baguette, instead of the complexity of making a whole knit that would allow a hole to be there, it's easier to just knit so that it's closed, and afterwards you open it up and you make an edging around it, and then you've got a place for the head. So you can't open it up on Shabbat, because that would be an actual makeh patish.
The material is ripping up the threads.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later. I mean, there's a whole shayla how to understand this. Rambam includes this sugya in his discussion of Korea, whereas the other Rishonim talk about the sugya only in terms of makeh patish. And the question is whether the din of Korea amanat litfor is a halacha because of kilkul, in which case obviously here it doesn't apply because it's certainly not a kilkul to have a place to put your head in your sweater, or is it an actual definition of the malachas Korea? If it's a definition of malachas Korea, then this wouldn't be included under Korea because it's not Korea amanat litfor, and therefore it only appears under makeh patish. The Rambam apparently holds, this is the accepted explanation, the Rambam may hold that it's not a din in the etzem malacha, it's just a question that if it's not a manat litfor, so then Korea is generally a makalkel, and mamela, here I couldn't call it a makalkel, so this would be a real Korea. All right, but let's assume Rashi's pshat, we're talking about problems here not of Korea, but of makeh patish. But furthermore, what's important to us now, is ein notnin tamuchin, you can't take fill and put it into your pillow, l'toch hakar, below the tochak keser, into your quilt. You can't even do it on Yantav. Ain't tarak lomar b'Shabbat. So how could Rav Chisda say it's okay to put it back into the pillow? Understand, what's the question? Okay, sure. Habachadatei habatikei. Rav Chisda said you could put it back in. He didn't say you could put it in for the first time. We're talking over here about the problem, makeh patish. See, if you have now a pillow, the outside of a pillow, and you fill it up for the first time, then that's makeh patish, which is gomer, the malach of making the pillow. And that, of course, is also, Rav Chisda was saying, if your pillow opens, some of the stuff spills out on Shabbos. So you can stuff it again and put your head down on it. What's the comparison? Tanya Rami Yochi, Eino Tinyat HaMochin. Lo L'toch HaKar, V'lo L'toch HaKeset B'Yom Tov, Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbat. But, Nashru, if some of them fell out of a pillow that had already been filled, then Machzir Eino Tan even on Shabbos. You can put it back in, Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Yom Tov, and that's all that Rav Chisda was saying. So actually, Rav Chisda is firmly supported by the Braita.
What's the Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Well, we're generally never as machmer on Yom Tov, where first of all, even if it's a malacha, it's not the same chomer malacha Shabbos. And interestingly enough, we are metallic between them. And secondly, we have tzorech lachem, so the mele of certain things you might be make along. The truth is, this isn't one of them. But generally speaking, malacha on Yom Tov obviously is much more kal than on Shabbos.
Perhaps you need to interrupt one of the other.
You should know that if you do such a thing, and for the first time you make the beged usable by opening up the area where you can get your head through, because that is the completion, which of course leads us to the famous big contemporary issue, opening the soda bottles. Well, if we're learning, it's a makabe patish question. There's actually my focus. Rashi learns that the case over here is talking about that it was sewed as one piece. There are a lot of other Rishonim who don't agree. Not sewed, I'm sorry, I meant knitted or woven as one piece. A lot of other Rishonim hold that that's not the idea over here. It doesn't mean that you necessarily made it one piece. But what they would do is they would sew it, really sew it, so that they could make a, like when you make a button, so you have the threads going thickly on both sides and then cut through the middle so that you can have a protected button. So that's the issue over here. They would make an edging on it, the edging, until it was open, it was actually shut because of the way that it had been sewn. Okay, but in any event, it's the last step that's necessary in order to be able to use this bag. So Maskev Arav Kahana, why is this any different than opening up a magufat chavit? I mean, well, they used to have their barrels. Remember, the barrels in those days were made out of earthenware. And they would actually use cement kit to take a piece and connect it to the barrel itself. And nonetheless, they open it up on Shabbos. And then, I mean, the din is you can walk in there and make a really nice impression on your guests. This was considered to be very classic. You take your sword out of the scabbard, you just go, boom! And you rip open the whole barrel and say, this is for you, buddy. So, why isn't this considered to be the same thing? Omar Le Rava Zechibur. It's not the same thing, because over here, this is what pushes Rashi to learn this, talking about this all one piece. Over here, by the neck, it's basically was never open. So this is the closing act in the making of an open neck. Mashenka, when it comes to the barrel starts open. Now you take a piece and you add it to the barrel. So even though you glue it onto the barrel, it's not the same thing now as creating the barrel when I take it off. And so Mamela, there's no comparison. Why would that be a mark of a patish? Of course, it's a little bit strange because the case that Rashi brings of taking out your sword and going boom doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do it at that place. You could do it somewhere else. When you knock off the head of a barrel, you're not mark fit to pry open the top. I mean, that's the whole class of it. You know, you're going to fly open the top, the guy's going to think you're a cheapo. You mean you intend to close it again? Yeah. I was looking forward to a good drink.
It's not Makalkal by doing that?
Since he could have done it.
By ripping off the top?
Since he could have done the other.
The way Rabbi Joseph explained.
Possibly. There's all kinds of questions here, because then it becomes, it's not a petach sha'asri la'chnis lo'tzi. It's also a shayla. So even if it would be a petach. But in terms of market of patish, you know that it's not a usable thing until that point. Or still that would make it usable. Not in terms of binions or petach. Market of
patish is a one-time thing.
That's it. A one-time thing for each thing. So even like putting in shoelaces for the first time in a pair of shoes that would never be used before. That's something that people are actually nifshal in.
They're not aware.
Yeah, but buy a pair of shoes and you'll put the shoelaces in on Shabbat. Which could
be.
It's hard to relate. What are we talking about makapashish and hadmana for? Is a hadmana, I would have thought hadmana maybe is it's more
makapashish. Food doesn't mean anything that uses food on a barrel that contains food. There's no makapashish on food. But what this is doing here, because that we're going to need a little bit of a perspective on. Why are we getting into all of these interesting inyan and chibur and so on?
In the middle of
the Sugiyat Tamana. As a matter of fact, the Mecham issue, according to Rashi, was only, even that wasn't on Tamana. So Rami Le Rabbi Yirmiyahu Le Rabbi Zera, now that we're talking about the question of, by the way, of course, the issue of the opening bottles on Shabbat includes a whole new question of Magal Patish, which is the reusability of the screw on top. That's when it became problematic. Correct? Because over there you have a top, which until you rip off the ring is not really usable. So the question is whether the first ripping off of the ring is considered to be an act of makabe patish, legabe creating show and tell. Legabe creating the topping. I mean, a lot of good this thing is going to be as long as this is on it. You have to pull it off in order to get it covered.
But it's serving as a top now. It's a nice top.
But it's not a reusable top.
But when it was manufactured, it was people. It was two separate, the process itself manufactured. They put it onto the... It's not one piece that was made and you're making it from that. Because they take a piece and then they put it
in. Do they?
Of course they don't.
I'm not talking about perforation. I'm talking about in relation to the bottle.
They take the whole cover and so
we're not talking about the bottle. We're talking about the cover.
Only to that little thin strip you're talking about.
That's the finishing touch.
Right.
So this is the question. Is this itself an act of macrophage?
Why does anyone allow?
You're convinced it's us, right?
Well, I know.
Well, most people in the world, how does anyone explain that?
Where were you for Shabbos in the book you promised me, big talker? All right. Rami Levi, Biyom HaRebbe is here. Now that we're on the topic of connections, let me ask you something about connections similar to this one that would be nogeya dinim of tuma, because by tuma time we can have the same thing. So you have a shalal shel kofsin. You just talked about the way that the dry cleaner will sew sometimes instead of using pins. But another thing that the laundries use is you're given a bunch of socks. They'll put a thread through all the socks to make sure that the socks don't disappear. And that has been one of the serious mysteries that science has not yet been able to find
the solution. We've been looking for.
That's probably.
They use it as fuel.
So suppose you tie it all together with a shalal. So now you've got a whole pile of socks that has a thread through them, keeping them together. Or a shal shalat mal shal maftechot. You've got a key ring. And the key ring is keeping the various keys attached together. Or you have a beged, which is tafur b'kilayim. For whatever reason, you have two pieces of material, let's say of tzemer, that have a piece of pishta that you put through them to keep them together, which obviously is not for purposes of wearing, because it's also to wear, so you're going to certainly cut them apart. And all of these things mean that each unit stays separate, but there's something that's being mechayev by them that isn't necessarily a permanent part of it. So the din over there is that it's considered to be a chibur l'tuma, and if you touch one of these things to something tameh, one key to something tameh, this is all the keys will become tameh, because they're all the same key ring. Or if one of the socks becomes tummy, then all of them become tummy. So, and this goes on, you have to do an act in which you begin now to take out the thread. At that point, you've shown you've been mavato the chibur, and it's no longer mechuba. So from here we see, says Rabbi Yehuda Reb Zera, that it appears, alma shalobishat melacha, nami chibur. That even when this thing is not required for use, you certainly don't need it to use it in this way, and still considered to be a chibur until you do something to change the fact that there's now a thread through all the socks. Problem is that we have another mishnah that seems to suggest the opposite. Raminu, makel, you take a stick. Now this stick is not makabel tuma because it's pshutik liyetz. Pshutik liyetz aren't makabel tuma. It has no beit kibur. It has no containers in it. What you do is now is you screw the stick into a shovel top. So now that you now have a shovel. Problem is that the stick in this case is the handle of the shovel. And therefore, it will now be makabel tuma not as kli eitz, but as the yad to a real kli matecha, which doesn't require a bit kibur. And the makel is a chibur l'tuma only b'sha'at melacha, the Mishnah says. Is that a contradiction? And here it's saying, b'sha'at melacha in shalom, b'sha'at melacha lo. When it comes to other times, so the shovel is just sitting there in the corner, and somebody touches tuma to the shovel, the handle's not going to be makabel tuma, or vice versa. So apparently it's dependent on its use at the time. So how do you explain that? Because the point is this. The stick that you plug in, if you're going to store it, what you may very well do is you'll take the stick and put it with the rest of your wood. And what's important to you is the shovel top. That's the clue. Masha'in came over here. The reason that you put those sacks together in the first place is to prevent them from being used as space fuel. So now, if something would happen again, and one of these socks would become dirty or something, you certainly wouldn't want to just put it into the washing machine, because that's a sure giveaway.
Maybe the other
they wash the washing machines, as we know. So you would keep it anyway, wouldn't you? You believed it was the dryer. Isn't that interesting? There have been many experiments being done on that. So, what's that? Actually, it was the first discovery of hyperspace, the socks, when they attempted to follow them. So over here, shalom b'shat malach anami nechale, you would like it to be kept connected, because imitanfu, if you have a sock getting dirty again, say falls to the ground or something like that, so other mechaver lehu, you could then put them back into the washing machine fearlessly. So you'll keep it that way.
So
to keep it on the string until you use it.
Right. That's what they mean when they say we keep you on the string. Matno, so Besura Matno Allah Shmaitz Mishmeir of Chista, but Pumatita Matno Mishmeir of Kahana, some say Mishmeir of Abba. By the way, what we're about to say, we haven't even said it yet, because it's going to take us a long time to get there, is questioning who said it. And it depends if you leave it Surah or Pumatisa, if you were going to go the Amre or the first Lashon. But let's talk about what it was that was said, and then we'll worry about who said it. That Mantana, and what we don't know who was said by what, was a question of who said the following. Mantana, Hamilta the Omer Rabbanan, who is the author of the following maimer, that kol ha-mechubarlo areihu kamohu, that when you have something that is mechubar, such as our case, in which you have the string, the thread that was threaded through all of the socks, and so that that's considered to be a chibur, the gabituma. So if you touch one of them, they're all considered to be tameh. Obviously, if it wasn't the chibur, it's not going to become tameh one sock from the next sock, because a kli can't be makabatuma from anything but an avatuma, and the sock itself that was makabatuma is only rishon tuma, so only the first sock would become tameh. So who is the author of that shita? Amr Rav Yonah Marav, well, it's Rabbi Meir, it's not. Beta pachu, beta tavlinu, beta ner shebikira, betabim bemaga ve'in metamin ba'avir, did Rabbi Meir. So here we have a very modern, up-to-date kira that comes with a built-in lamp. All you need to do is press a button and you can see everything that's on the kira, or maybe it's easier to use a match to light it. So it's got its own beit haner. And it even has a rack for spices. You don't have to go elsewhere in your kitchen.
Deluxe.
This is super deluxe kira. And it's even got a beit hapach. Press a little button, some oil comes out of the bottom of that container, and you don't have to go anywhere else to fill your frying pan. This is an amazing kind of thing. But the shaila is it all considered to be one kli with the kira? So the makabel tuma, the kira's makabel tuma, or not? And Rabbi Meir says something very strange, that if the kira, which is after all made out of porcelain, if the kira is makabel tuma from its avir, then the kira will become tuma, but these things won't be makabel tuma. Masha'in came, if the tuma actually hits the inside of the kira, so it would be makabel tuma from its inside, but the maga, not the aviro, then all of these things that are connected to the kira are also going to be makabel tuma, which is very strange. But this is Rabbi Meir Shita. We'll talk about how such things is possible in a moment. Rabbi Shimon Netayar, and Rabbi Shimon says, these things are not considered to be part of the kira. It's just an advertising gimmick anyway. I mean, you know, these kind of things. We've all tried it. You know, the cobbling racks and so on. 2 months later, there's not a single container left in the cobbling rack. A year later, it's in the garbage. What are you trying to fool? So therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, it's not really part of the kira. So Bishlev, Rabbi Shimon, Kasova Lavka Kira, at least he's consistent. He's saying he's not part of the Kira. It's not going to be Makabal Tuma. I don't care how the Kira was Makabal. How does Rabbi Meir come off with saying it's like the Kira, but it's not like the Kira? I mean, Ike Kira, tell me, you hold it's a part of the Kira, so what's the difference? How does it be Makabal Tuma? Whether it was Makabal Tuma through its Avir, it's Makabal Tuma through a Maga, it makes no difference for a Kli Cheres how it's Makabal Tuma. Bottom line is, it's Tame. So anything that you consider to be Mukhubar to it should be Tame. So if you hold that it is like the Kira, Abdul Bavir or Nami Mitnu. Then even if it's Bekabal Tuma Mi'avir, it's also Bekabal Tuma. V'ilav Kikira Dama, if you hold it's not a real Chibur, so then what's the difference if it was B'maga? Filo B'maga Nami Lalitu. The truth is, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Meir Shita is similar to Rabbi Shimon. He holds that it really isn't part of the Kira. It's a gimmick. So it's actually Le'olam Lav Kikira Dama. Except that because of the fact that people may take it as a Chibur. And therefore, when it comes to things which actually are a Chibur, they may be mako, and think that, well, either you touch something directly, or you haven't touched it at all, even though it could be a chibur to a key ring and so on, which is a real chibur. So the Rabbanan would go there on this tavlin rack, and on this presto shemen dispenser, and they said it would be makabel tuma from the kira. But, so you'll say, Yazurban afilu ba'avir nami litmus, and why don't they make a gzer that's consistent? But it'd be makabel tuma even mi'avira. And here we have our standard case for Tuma issues. We have found often, again and again throughout the sugyas, that when the Rabbanan make a takana that is creates a situation of Tuma, they're worried about the fact that someone may take that Tuma as a Tuma Diraita and end up burning Truma or Kachin. And so in many cases we find that they make a takana in a way that is specifically inconsistent, so that the user will be struck by the inconsistency and recognize that it must only be a Tuma Rabbanan, because otherwise it's absurd. And because of that, he won't come to burn Shema Vakachin. Indeed, answers the Gemara, Avdu B'Rabbanan Hekeir, is another one of these cases, where the Rabbanan made some recognizable siman, they wanted to make sure that people wouldn't end up doing an iser, such as burning Trumah V'Kadshah, because of Gzeirat Rabban. Tanu Rabbanan, how about a Masporet Shel Prakim? There are scissors in which the scissor is manufactured in such a way that it's meant to be taken apart. The two pieces are taken apart so that they can, I mean, a professional scissor, like each one of them can be sharpened in a sharpening device and kept properly oiled and so on. So, I mean, over there, look, it's really only usable when you put it together, obviously. I mean, unless you have the one hand clapping, you know, kind of thing. But generally speaking, the one half of the scissor is difficult to use. But it can be taken apart. An Ismael Shel Rehitni. An Ismael Shel Rehitni is a plane that has a wooden holder, just standard for a plane. You have a blade, you insert the blade, screw the blade in, and now you have one kli. If you take the blade out of the plane, or the plane out of the blade, you don't have anything. And therefore, it's the etzem one kli. Now it says over here that these things are considered to be chubur l'tuma. In other words, if you touch the handle, then the blade will be tame. You touch one half of the scissor, the other half is going to be tame. But it's not a chibur l'hazor. It's also weird. If your mate is on it from the mechatat, in order to be matired, after it became tame, but too much mate, you have to make sure that it hits both parts. So the chibur works only in the direction of kabbalat tuma, but not in the direction of losing its tuma, because only place where that would be nogea would be Tumas Meis and Paras Chatas, because a mikveh would have to be totally in the mikveh anyway, so it would be irrelevant. So, wait a minute, Manu Shalit. Ichi Burhu, I understand, if you're viewing this as one Kali, so then I feel La Zanani. And me Lafi Burhu, so then I feel the Tumas Anilo. Now, how do you have it halfway? Says Rava, I'll explain to you, it's very simple. Dvar Torah, Bisha'at Melacha Chibur. The truth is that Midioraita, this thing becomes a Chibur only when it's being used. And we don't say that something which in storage is meant to be taken apart. So there's a carpenter is usually careful to remove his blade, store it properly, set aside the handle, and have the blade with his tools. The same thing we often will leave, let's say, a drill bit inside a drill, even though we know this is not the right thing to do, but we do it, okay, but it's meant to be taken apart. So midiraita b'shah that you're using the kli, at that point it's considered to be mechubar, indeed, both for tuma and for azah. There's no midiraita distinction between one and the other. It's just that the Rabbanon, so Dvar Torah b'shat melacha, chibur bein tuma bein azah. The problem is that midiraita shalo b'shat melacha, it's not chibur at all. Eino chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'azah. The Rabbanon made a gzeira l'chumra in both directions. So they were gozer tuma shalo b'shat melacha, because if they let people see that touching half of a scissor is in the time of the other half of the scissor, they'll think that it's because it's be'etzem, two separate kelim, and that this would be true even b'sha'ah that it's being used. And therefore, they were gozer shalom b'shat melacha mishum tumah b'shat melacha. But they also had to be gozer on hazah even b'shat melacha, when you would think that it's a good enough hazah, because if they allowed you to say it was hazah even when it was just being stored in one part, so then midiraita said it's not a kosher hazah. I mean, when b'shat melacha, because you would think it's a kosher hazah even when it's stored and being as one, even when it's not being used. So they were gozer mishum hazah shalom b'shat melacha. B'shas malacha obviously doesn't mean literally that. It means that you're holding it now in order to use. I'm ready to use it. So you're coming along now. You're saying, look, you know, I got a really frum apprentice over here. He ain't going to touch it. Could you please sprinkle some magic stuff on it? You know. So, okay, so that means I'm holding now by using it. I want to use it. I put it together in order to use. And take it out of the closet. It's time. Should we? Obviously. Should we? Continue to the Mishnah. Yeah. All right. We said this man she'en lachim. We had like all of these last cases where the first part of the Mishnah is a list of things that bein, all of these things, bein lachim, bein yaveshim. Now these are things which mostly we can see, and we would have predicted ourselves that these are things that are mosif hevel. Again, because we're aware of the fact that these things heat. Some of them were not. Melach, we're seed, the truth is the heat. We do perceive heat and seed, but that's a reaction from the impact of the seed on your hand. Melach, again, I mean, I'm saying the melach is hot, measured by a temperature thing. I mean, your skin becomes hot when it's exposed to the melach. We wouldn't have predicted that that's cold.
Ice on the streets, they would put salt on it.
Yeah, but that's not because the salt is hot. It's because the salt changes the temperature at which water freezes.
It stays the same, but
the temperature stays the same, but it melts because there's a different... It's a different latent heat. Okay, but anyway, it certainly seems to have that effect on people, however this works. So those things are considered to be mosif hevel. The other things are only mosif hevel, it says, if they're wet. So we had we had the little pieces of material or pieces of grass cuttings and so on. If it's wet, fine, but not, it's not considered to be mitami. Now, mosif havel. Now the question is, when you say wet, there's two ways of understanding this. Are we saying that adding water makes these things hot, or are we saying that when they are in a state in which they're naturally wet, then that means that whatever processes were going on there are going to continue and it'll remain heating? Is it Avraham Mosif Hevel? So the question is locked, and we said, is it Machmat Atzmam, that they have a natural damp in there, and then, of course, they would remain Avraham Mosif Hevel? Or you included even locked in Machmat Damar Akira, they just got wet. Well, I understand what your question is. But look at the list, Toshma. V'lo b'teben, v'lo b'zagim, v'lo b'mochin, v'lo b'asabim, b'zbanshem lachim. Now, if you're going to include in this list things that are damp, because they got damp from somewhere else, fine, then this makes sense. I mean, even if you're shlema lachim, machmat avarcher, then all of these things can be included in the list. But if you're going to tell me they have to be naturally wet, what does a naturally wet rag mean? How is there a naturally wet rag? So mochin, lachim, machmat atzman, whoever heard of a... I mean, it grew that way? Well, what exactly are we talking about? No, we're talking about where we made the rag from Marta the Beni Atmi. We're talking about where we made the rag out of wool that had been pulled from between the legs of an animal, which is wet, damp, and hot. And therefore, now that we've woven it into this little mat, it's still heating because it's got this decaying matter on it. And so, Mamela, maybe that's the case that Mishnah's talking about. That's time that you make it wet. Take a cloth and make it wet. So, v'hoda toni revosha, tonim b'chsut yevesha, or b'perot yeveshim, avalo b'chsut lacha, avalo b'perot lachim. Where do you get a damp jacket? It's naturally damp jacket. What's a naturally damp jacket? Well, you made that jacket out of the kind of wool you wouldn't want to be wearing, I'll tell you. Me also, me mar to the Beni Atmi. I'd say that, you know, you pluck this stuff, and this guy's a very earthy kind of fellow, you know. So he's got a nice smelling jacket there. Exactly.
Less than natural.
Just keep it natural. Okay, we'll begin our chazara here from the bottom of Membav Amud Bey. Elom Arava, Anachu Ner Shemen Uptilaho Danas Basis Dabahasur, and that's the reason for Rabbi Shimon's Isser Bishat Hadlaka. Om Rabbi Zer Amarazi, Om Rabbi Yochan, Om Rabbi Chanin, Om Rabbi Rumanus, Li Yitir Rabbi Letaltel Makatab Afra. Amalei Rabbi Zeir leRavasi, how could that be? Yom Rav Yochanan, v'atznan otel adam b'no ve'evin b'yado kalkala ve'evin b'tocha. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chan, according to Rav Yochanan, said, of course, this means dafka kalkala malayat peirot askina. So you see that Rav Yochanan holds taima the itzba. The electricity must be on. Taima the itzba peirot. You see, it's dafka because there's peirot in it. Halet ba peiri lo. Boy, that was shocking. Yishtomim kisha'achala. V'yomar hochanami dit be kartin. Omar abaya akaman kartin be rebi mi chashive. V'chitem echozu laniyim, v'atani bigdei aniyim laniyim, bigdei ashrim lashrim, aval daniyim lashrim lo. El omar abaya mirin avi, agerav shorei. Omar rova, stay true, but the varchada, gerav shorei mois, v'halo mois, v'od, Gerav Sharei Migli, Vahai Mirsi. Elo Amar Rava, Yavina Be'erav Nachman, Avi Matato Vinon, V'kenuna Agav V'kitma, V'af Agav Dika L'Shivrei Eitzim. So it's because the Efer itself is Mucha. Meitve, Shavim Shim Yesh Ba Shivrei P'tila Shasur L'Taltel. Am Rabbeya, that's talking about in the Galil. Levi Ba Shmuel Ashkechina L'Rabba Abba L'Ravuna Bachia. What do you mean? Rabbi Simoy Omer, Karen Agula Chayav. Karen Peshuta Patur. So how do you explain that? Inu diyoma ki haitan, the tanya, malvinota mita, ochroota mita, L'vachim shall sekivas. Lo yarzir v'imesir patur amal asur. V'lo yitka v'imtaka chayav chatat. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, im haya rafui mutar. Be'rav Chana, havi mita galon mita, havi ma'ari lei b'yum atava. Omer lei ahu min rabbanu l'rava, ma'i da'item. Bini min atzadu, nid isur d'yaraita lei b'yisur d'rabbanu n'yayikin. Omer lei anak Rav Shimon ben Gamliel svirli. De'omer, im haya rafui mutar. נותנים כלי תחת הנר לקבל ניצוצות, ולא ייתן לתוכו מים, מפני שהוא מחבר, וכמבעת הכלי מהיכנות, אומר ונברא לזה שהוא ניצוצות, אין בהם ממש. ולא ייתן לתוכו מים, מפני שהוא מחבר, למה תנסתמק רבי יוסי, דומה גורם לכיווי אסור, ותזברם, ודומה רבי יוסי בשבת, בערב שבת מיומן, וכי תימר כנמי בשבת, ותניה, נותנים כלי תחת הנר, לקבל ניצוצות בשבת, ואין צריך לומר בערב שבת, ולא ייתן לתוכו מים כדי שיקבל מערב שבת, ואין צריך לומר בשבת. אלא אומר רש"י, אפילו תאמר, רבנן, שאני אחא מדי שמקרב את כיוויו דיירקטלי, אגרנו לא פתירה. במה טומנים ובמים טומנים אין טומנים, לא בגפת ולא בזבל, לא במלח ולא בסיד ולא בחול, בין לחין בין יבשים, אבל, לא, לא, סורי, אני מבין את זה. ולא בטבע, ולא בזגים, ולא בבוקים, ולא בעשבים, בזמן שהם מכים, אבל טומנים בהם כשהם יבשים, דיבור. גפת של זיתים צנן, אבל דסום סמין שפה דמי, או דילמה אימא דסום סמין צנן, וקושתם זיתים, תשמע, דיומר רבי זירו משום חד ורבי ינאי, קופה שטמן בה אסור לניחה, גפת של זיתים, שמע אמינה של זיתים צנן, נא, ליאור אמר לך לנין הטמנה, סום סמינני עושה, it's only here where we're talking about Linyan Atsuki Havla. There, Zeytim or Maske Havla, some Semin are not Maske Havla. Rather, Verbi Zera Iklu Lavereish Gavruta. Chaz Yur Lahu Havla, the Anak Kuzin Amaya Puma de Kubkuma. Naze Rava. Omale Rabbi Zera, what do you do so bad? Maishami Mecha Magari Mecha. Omale Hatam, Kumi Kumuski. Where Zoku Luri Kumuli. Hoda Chaz Yar. The poras das to the rapuma de kuba vianach natalui na ze rava. I'm like Reb Zera, am I? I'm like has the chazita. The zok chazia de kamatzerle. I'm like so maishna mi farum. I'm like atam lo kapina lui. Haka kapina lui. The lo betevin noimene revada bar matam miyamai. Mochi jetaman behen mau le tatalan b'shabbat. I'm like imedeshen lo kupash tevin for a few hours. So omenu mafkir kupa shamokin, that's cross money. Leitman v'sayele, ton nimigizet semer ubitzipet semer ubishamot shalagamanu v'mochin, v'ein metal to leinata, mashma, even if you were tonne. No. Imishamah lo aire, maybe ahikama. Im lo taman, ben leinem metal to leinotam, two separate clauses. Iyokimai lameimra. Mao detemor chazi lamezka leo kamashma lam. Rivchista shor la dura yudele v'esadi v'shabbat. עת רב חנה בר חיסטו רב חיסטה מתירים בית הצוואר בשבת אבל לא פותחים ואין נותנים את המוחים לא לתוך הקר ולא לתוך הכסף ביום טוב ואין צריך לומר בשבת לא קשה בחרתי בעתיקי כן נראה מיוחי אין נותנים את המוחים לא לתוך הקר ולא לתוך הכסף ביום טוב ואין צריך לומר בשבת אבל נושרו מחזירים אפילו בשבת ואין צריך לומר ביום טוב אומר רבי אמרה הפותח בית הצוואר בשבת חייב חטא מאד כפלור רב כהנא, מה בין זו למגופת החבית? אומר לי רבא, זה חיבור, וזה אינו חיבור. רבא לי רבי ירמי לרבי זרץ, נען שלל של קופסים ושל שלט של מפתחות, והבגד שהוא תפור בקיליים, חיבור לטומאה עד שיתחילה התיר. אלמה, שלא בשעת מלאכה, נמי חיבור, ורמינו מקל שעשאו יד לקרדום, חיבור לטומאה בשעת מלאכה. דווקא בשעת מלאכה נדלות, אבל שלא בשעת מלאכה לא. אמר לי, that's because האטם שלא בשעת מלאכה, אדם עשוי לזורקו לבין עצים. הוקה שלא בשעת מלאכה, נמי נכלה. די מתנפו, אדם מחרבנו. בסורה מתנו the following שמייצץ המשמיד רב חיסטה, בפומפדיס מתנו the following שמייצץ המשמיד רב כהן, or some say משמיד רבה, the following שמייצץ being, quote, מה נתן אהל מילטר יום רבונן, כל המחובר לו הרי הוא כמוהו, Rabbi Yirama Rav, Rabbi Meir, the time. Beit Apach, Beit Atavlin, Beit Aner, Shebekirav. Metamin b'maga, ve'in metamin ba'avir, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon, Metire completely. He's a big shame, Rabbi Shimon, because of a lot to Kiradam consistently. Hell, Rabbi Meir, make up your mind. Ike Kiradam, as I feel about an army litmo. Lotke Kiradam, I feel about an army low litmo. The Olam Lotke Kiradam, Rabbanan of the Gazubahu. So, okay, so Gazubu, I feel about an army litmo. No, 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 because Abu Rabbanan of Kira, get the Lotke, let me see if I can record. Ton Rabbanan Masparacha Prakim, when Israel shall eat me. Chibur Latuma, pain for Chibur Laza, Monashov. Ichubur, I feel as an army, Lotke, I feel to an army low. Amarav, because Dvar Torah b'shat melacha chibur ben l'tumah ben laza. Shalom b'shat melacha ino chibur lo l'tumah v'lo laza. V'goz rabbanan al tumah shalom b'shat melacha mishum tumah sh'b'shat melacha v'al alza'a sh'b'shat melacha mishum alza'a shalom b'shat melacha. Bizman she'en lachin, iboilu. Lachin means machmat atzman, dima lachin machmat avaracher. Tashma lo b'tepen, lo b'zagin, lo b'mochin, mochin, mochin. So fine, Yamit Bishlema, Lachim, Machmat Avaracher, Shapir, Lele, Lachim, Machmat Atzman, what's Mokim, Lachim, Machmat Atzman? Hechim Ashkarad Lach. What do you mean? Mimarta Rabbeini Atme. Vahodatani Raboshi, Atonim Bechsut Yevesha, Beperot Yeveshina, Velo Bechsut Lacha, Velo Beperot Lachim, but Bechsut Lacha also, Machmat Atzman, Hechim Ashkarad Lach. You have to say, maybe he meant Mimarta Rabbeini Atme. Enzyme.
I mean, it is kind of strange. 2 hours.
Powerful?
Yeah. And then we'll be drying about an hour later.